Nevada still has casinos, but you want to gamble? All you have to do is head for the nearest convenience store. Not even that far if you have a computer. Gambling is everywhere, and it's John MacArthur's focus on today's Grace to You. When money is tight, it's tempting to look for a quick fix. Perhaps you've daydreamed of winning the lottery or going all in and winning a big hand. But today, John MacArthur will show you why this solution isn't as easy as advertised. The study today, a part of the Grace to You series, So What's Wrong with Gambling? Before we get to the lesson, John, for over four decades as a pastor and Bible teacher, you've devoted yourself to explaining passages verse by verse. Case in point, you're currently preaching through the Gospel of John at Grace Community Church. I'm wondering, when you finish a book or a series like this, how do you decide which passage of Scripture or topic that you're going to teach on next?
Well, for me, I've been doing this for so long that I know the next one is going to be part of what's in my mind for the benefit of the church, and I pretty much know that before I finish the book I'm in, I can anticipate it coming. But I don't really plan sermon series. I think maybe this is something people might be interested in. I don't say, okay, I'm going to preach 20 sermons on a certain passage. I just open the passage, prepare for next Sunday. I was doing some writing, thinking about that just recently, and I realized that when I started to preach the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 to 7, many years ago, I had no idea how many sermons I'd preach from those chapters. It turned out I did one, then I did another one, and another one, and I finished, it was number 60 sermons on Matthew 5 to 7. I didn't plan that. The Spirit of God directed and led me through the process of that. That's been the blessing and the joy of ministry, to let the Word take me where it takes me, let the Bible take me where it takes me, and not have some sort of superstructure from above by my own design dropped on the text and have the text forced into those kinds of limitations. It's been a delight to just let the Word of God lead me, even in my preaching.
Thanks, John. And friend, for today's lesson, stay with us as John MacArthur shows you what the Word of God says about gambling and your money. Continuing the study called, So What's Wrong with Gambling?
Now, gambling, this appeal to sheer chance, has devastating effects. And I want to talk about those effects for a few minutes. It provides wealth for a handful of people at the expense of the masses. Mostly the poor. People in the lowest income bracket spend four times as much of their income on gambling as others. Gambling is the exploitation of the poor. It is the exploitation of the uneducated. It is the exploitation of the undisciplined, the people who lack self-control. It is the exploitation of the lazy people. It is unthinkable in my mind that a government supposed to exist for the welfare of the people, a government of the people, by the people, for the people, said Abraham Lincoln. It is inexplicable to me that a government for the benefit of the people would get to the place where our government has, where it exploits the poor to the degree that it does. And the exploitation is massive. On the one hand, you hear all of this promotion, all of this constant promotion about raising the taxes of the wealthy, taxing the wealthy, the people who work hard, the people who produce, the people who are successful, increasing and increasing and increasing their burden of tax, which of course limits the people they can hire because they have to give so much of their money to the government, they have to cut back on their workforce. On the one hand, the government is saying, we got to give benefits to the poor, tax the rich, tax the successful people, and let's give benefits to the poor. At the same time, in an absolutely clear act of hypocrisy, the government institutes government-funded or government-sponsored gambling and exploits the poor. Takes money right out of their hands, under the fantasy and the seduction that somehow they're going to get rich. And gambling exploits the poor and the undisciplined and the weak because it increases their debt, it demeans work, it robs families of their resources, it breaks up marriages, it leads to suicide, and it produces crime. They used to say that if we bring in gambling, it'll build up all the businesses. If we create a big casino world, they said in Atlantic City, it'll build up all the businesses. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't do that. It doesn't do it at all. Since Atlantic City legalized gambling in 1976, its population has shrunk 20%. Unemployment is higher. Crimes are up 380%. The police force has doubled. Half of the 2,100 businesses have closed, and four of the past six mayors have been indicted for corruption. Three are currently serving jail terms. Gambling doesn't alleviate social ills. It just generates them. One writer says, Atlantic City used to be a slum by the sea. Now it's a slum by the sea with casinos. Gambling is a known promoter of organized and street crime. Everywhere around the gambling realm, street crime is elevated. Connecticut attorney Austin McGugan talks about that. Central City, Colorado had to more than double its police force after five casinos opened. The New Jersey Casino Control Commission report in 89 said that casino gambling is a magnet for street criminals, and they have had nothing but a huge increase in assault, rape, prostitution, and drug dealing. And gambling, of course, now it can be done on video games. You can gamble on the internet. There is now a lottery channel in Rhode Island, and that'll soon spread across the country where you can gamble in your home with your credit card. TV gambling, telephone gambling, cyberspace casinos are coming, virtual gambling. Wherever gambling goes, crime comes. Because people need more money to gamble, they steal and rob and pillage. Las Vegas claims one of the nation's highest crime rates. Nevada lists the highest incarceration rate in the nation, and 40% of the felons jailed in Nevada are from out of state. So you just invite felons in when you operate gambling. One in every 66 households in Nevada files for bankruptcy, the highest rate in the nation. They have the highest per capita consumption of alcohol in the nation. And by the way, these casinos give away alcohol because drunk people gamble more. In 1994, the FBI found that criminals in Las Vegas committed five times as many violent crimes as police were able to solve. This is the worst ratio of any large city in the United States. And so it goes. And there's more statistics. The crime increases go up 300, 400, 500, 1,000% in Atlantic City on larceny, all kinds of larceny crimes, violent crimes, rape, aggravated assault, robbery, just out of sight, escalating crime. Now, in spite of this, and I could go on with all the statistics, but I think you get the picture. It's a major problem. In spite of all of this, the church hasn't really addressed this. The church has been busy with abortion, pornography, family values, and things like that. But the government is in an advocacy position on this gambling thing, and the church needs to stand up and declare the reality of what this stuff really is in relation to what the Word of God has to say. I think there are no verses in the Bible. If you look for the word gambling in your concordance, you won't find it. There are no verses in the Bible that make a direct statement, thou shalt not gamble. So the church has kind of backed off on that and maybe found it difficult to make a case against gambling. It also, I think, is backed off because you can tell a drunk staggering down the street and slobbering on himself or hunched over in a park bench or living in a cardboard box, but the gamblers don't have visible evidences. And so it doesn't look on the surface as bad. It's kind of a respectable look. There is ignorance of the industry. That's why I've taken a few minutes to give you the statistics. You need to know how big this is. There's an ignorance of biblical principles that apply to gambling, and there's so much materialism among Christians that maybe some of them would like to win the lottery. I'm sure they would. All this kind of apathy feeds the exploding exploitation of the weak and makes government bigger and more powerful. And the church needs to stand up and say what needs to be said. Well, so much for a look at the problem. So let's turn to some of the principles you have to deal with. And I'm going to take you right into the Word of God. And we're going to go step by step by step into what the Bible says about gambling. But let me just give you some broad sweep to start with, all right? Number one I want to share with you is the moral issues in gambling. And we're looking now just at a broad moral sweep, obviously supported by the general teaching of Scripture. Gambling is immoral. For the following reasons. One, it drains the economic provision that God makes for people. Gambling is immoral because it is God who gives you the power to get wealth, and everything we have comes from God, and gambling drains that. Two, gambling is immoral because it undermines philanthropy. In fact, it reverses philanthropy. It is a light for dark and black for white and bitter for sweet reversal, if we use the words of Isaiah 5. Instead of giving to the poor and helping the poor, it exploits the poor. It is the destruction of philanthropy. Instead of taking any discretionary money that you might have and giving it to someone with need, you take your discretionary money and gamble it so that you can take the biggest amount from those who have the least and who made the foolish investment in the first place. It is immoral because it erodes the biblical work ethic. God has honored and exalted work. Man is to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. 6 days shall you work, Exodus 20. The whole of the work ethic is demeaned by this. And the American work ethic is getting worse and worse as we speak. It's sinking and deeper and deeper. And as it goes, people demand more. They demand the government give them more, though they work less. And the fantasy becomes more seducing all the time. And so the work ethic is further eroded. The American dream used to be that if you work hard enough, you can make a good, comfortable life in this great nation. The American dream now is win the lottery. And that is a seductive fantasy that doesn't come true. And even if you win it, by the way, you get $50,000 a year. And that's after the government taxes it. And it's spread out over who knows how many years. It isn't what it appears on the surface. Sociologist Mark Abramson explains, and I quote him, "The same state that urged people to stay in school, seek job training, and persevere through hard work and sacrifice also encourages the fatalistic belief that people's lives can change dramatically if their numbers come up in the lottery. The state is selling one message with its right hand and another with its left," end quote. It is immoral also because it promotes irrationality. It promotes irrationality. One of the things that we've always tried to promote in America is the use of the mind. I can remember seeing advertising on television, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Rationality, the God-given distinction that makes us human rather than animal, the ability to think and to reason and to sort out and to plan is a part of our God-given image. And that kind of rationality is important to being what men and women should be. Gambling promotes irrationality. It promotes fantasy, and thus it promotes despair because there's no guaranteed goal. There's no guaranteed achievement at the end of the thing. If you work hard and you apply yourself and you exercise your work ethic, there's a guaranteed benefit to that. You will produce. But the irrational fantasy of gambling leads only to nothingness and then despair. It is immoral because it preys on the weak and the vulnerable, mostly elderly. Many, many elderly, particularly older women who gamble, preys on the weak, teenagers now we know, and even children. It preys on those who are not rational, who aren't the smartest and the brightest, who have the least. It is immoral because it attracts the undisciplined and pushes them deeper and deeper into difficulty. Now, that's a general look at its immorality. Let me give you some specific sins that gambling is built on. If you eliminate these sins, gambling doesn't exist. Here they are, and I'll give you several. Number one, gambling is built on the sin of materialism. The whole appeal of gambling is that you can get rich, that you need more material things. 1 Timothy 6:10. The love of money is the root of what? All kinds of evil. The love of money is just another phrase for materialism. And gambling is built on the love of money. Win money, win money, win money. That's all you hear. It's the whole thing. It appeals to the materialistic lust. Secondly, it is built on the sin of greed. It is built on the idea that whatever you have is not enough. It appeals to greed with outrageous prizes. Outrageous prizes. You know, the truth of the matter is, I often ask myself why they can't spread that stuff out among a lot more people. And the answer is because they couldn't make the appeal. They know that in the marketing strategy. They couldn't make the appeal if they didn't make the prize staggeringly outrageous, and then break it all down so that it amounts to about $50,000 a year, which in the end is not much at all when you think about it. but it appeals to greed with its outrageous prices. And the Bible has so much to say about greed. Proverbs talks so repeatedly about what happens to greedy people. Jesus talked about what happens to greedy people in Luke chapter 12, just mentioning, I think it's verse 15, if I remember right. Luke 12, 15 says, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." I mean, avoid greed, because even when you get what you've been greedy for, you haven't got anything. Thirdly, gambling is built on the sin of materialism, greed, and discontent. Discontent. You don't have enough. There's a lot more. It's the very opposite of Philippians 4:11, where Paul says, "Not that I speak from want, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am, for I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Paul says, if I have it, I have it. If I don't have it, I don't have it, and that's fine. In either case, whatever God chooses to give me is enough. I will not be discontent. Gambling is predicated on discontent. And fourthly, it is built, as we've already seen, on exploitation. You have to understand this, folks. For every winner, there are millions of losers who have been exploited, who have been sucked in to the marketing scheme and turned into victims. They couldn't do it any better if they walked up and down the street with guns and held people up and took money out of their wallets. If they knocked on every door and said, "Give me your $10, give me $20, give me $50, give me $100, whatever it is. I mean, it wouldn't be any less robbery. It is a violation, some writers say, of the Eighth Commandment, "Thou shalt not steal," because it takes money away. It is a subtle form of thievery and exploits the poor. You can read James 5 about how God feels about the rich who exploit the poor. Furthermore, gambling is predicated on this lust, this lazy lust for entertainment. For some people, gambling is a high, it's a fix, it's a ride. And they're lazy. Rather than work, they want this form of entertainment, which gives them a rush and a high. So it's sort of a combination of a lust for the thrill and laziness. Read starting in Proverbs chapter 6, chapter 13, 15, 21, 24. Read everywhere you find the sluggard mentioned, the lazy person, and you'll begin to see what God says about the lazy person who tends toward poverty, who is the brother of the one who brings death. Gambling is built on the sins of materialism, greed, discontent, exploitation, and laziness, lust for entertainment. I would say further, it is built on the sin of distrusting God. Distrusting God. You know what? Put it another way. You know what I believe? I believe God knows what I need, and I believe that God will provide what I need. Do you believe that? My God shall supply what? All your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I trust in God's provision for me that I can earn through work, through savings, through wise investments, through reasonable risk. That's part of life. But I will not distrust, I will not demean what God has provided for me by being driven by greed and lust for more in an illegitimate attempt to gain what God hasn't provided. And then, as we've said, it is built on the sin of disdain for work and careful planning. It appeals to people who just want a quick track to wealth. Another thing I would mention just quickly, and I'll close. Gambling is built on the sin of irresponsible stewardship. The sin of irresponsible stewardship. You know, you have to be careful even in laying up treasures on earth, right? Where moth and rust comes in and thieves break through and steal. That you have to be very careful about that, because where your treasure is, your heart is also. You want to lay up your treasure in heaven. There are some things in this life you can have and can enjoy, and God's given us all things richly to enjoy. But all of it should bring glory and honor to God. And throwing it away in an appeal to sheer chance brings him no glory. It is an irresponsible act of stewardship with God's provision. And there's much about that in the New Testament, about being a good steward. Another sin that it's built on is a failure to meet the needs of family. Divorce rates are high. Family breakup is high among gamblers because they squander all the family's resources. In some ways, they're worse than alcoholics. Children don't have the food. The wife doesn't have what she needs to run the household. And then the children sometimes turn to crime. The daughters are turned into prostitutes to get the money to pay the bills, to gamble more money in the hope that the ship will come in. It's predicated on irresponsible family leadership. If a man doesn't take care of his family, he's worse than an unbeliever, right? 1 Timothy 5:8. And it's built on the sin of not loving your neighbor. If you have some extra, give it to somebody who needs it. Don't throw it away in some appeal to chance. It's built on a failure to give to others generously. If you really love your neighbor, you're going to give him what he needs. If you see your neighbor have a need, give him what he needs. Look not on your own things, but on the things of others. Gambling exploits the needy. If our society was built on biblical standards, it would work against materialism. It would prioritize people over things. It would build strong families. It would exploit no one. It would let the hardest working people prosper so that they could spread their money around to those who have need. It would honor work. It would honor hard work. It would strengthen values and virtues of the group rather than the individual. And we're cursed with all this individualism, where everybody has a right to be whatever he wants to be and nobody else can tell him what he should be or shouldn't be. If our society was built on biblical standards, it would deal with reality and not give people false hope based on fantasy. If our society was based on biblical standards, it would call the weak to use their God-given resources in honorable effort with responsibility and rationality to improve their condition. If our society was built on biblical standards, it would instill in us care for family, care for friends, and care for the poor and the needy. If our society was built on biblical standards, we would be content with what we have and grateful for all of it. And we would honor the source of it, namely God Himself. Gambling always corrupts. It just brings in a wave, a sea of corruption. And we're in the middle of it right now. Addressing it demands that we understand what the Scripture says. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the instruction that you've given us in your Word. Thank you for the insights that we've been able to bring on this issue, this sin, which is so ubiquitous in our society. And Lord, we grieve over the many broken lives, the many shattered homes, the many people who are in prison, the messed up lives, ruined cities and communities. We think of all of the Native American people, Indian people who have been so further corrupted by all that goes along with this stuff. And so many lives have been devastated by it. And Lord, you have been dishonored in so many ways by these appeals to sheer chance, as if there was no God, as if you were not sovereign, as if you were not in control. And Lord, we regret all of that, and we sorrow over all of that, and we ask that in our own case, wherever that has occurred, you would grant us forgiveness. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to instruct us that we might know how to handle the resources you've given us, how to bring righteousness to our own lives and the lives of those around us as we obey your truth and honor you in every area, particularly with the resources you've given to us. Father, continue to instruct us, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
You're listening to Grace to You, featuring John MacArthur. Along with his radio ministry, John is also president of the Master's College and Seminary. His current study is called, So What's Wrong with Gambling? Gambling is nothing new, but I think more people than ever think of it as harmless recreation. What isn't harmless, of course, is that anxiety that many people feel when it comes to dealing with their money, something even non-gamblers struggle with.
You know, I'm glad we're doing this, Carl. People are in the dark, I think, about the terrifying impact of gambling. It is addictive, highly addictive. It is destructive behavior. And I'm not talking about somebody who, for a lark, puts a silver dollar in a slot machine passing by and doesn't do it again, that's maybe foolish and sort of depending on chance. But for many people, this is a crushing, crushing, dominating sin in their life. And I just would like to rescue people from it. I've done a message on this, Jesus, worry, and you. Jesus, worry, and you. Worry is a temptation that takes many forms. But the solution to your worry, the solution to your fear, the solution to wondering what your future is not to be foolish with what you have, not to be foolish with what you possess. You have to put your trust in God and His promises and be wise. Jesus, worry, and you. If you've never written or called us before, we'll send you that CD free of charge. Just call, write, fax, email, ask for Jesus, worry, and you. We'll send it with our compliments.
If you're struggling with worry, if anxiety is stealing your joy or hindering your testimony, John's message, Jesus, worry, and you can help. Get a copy as you contact us today. Send a request by email to letters@gty.org or call the toll-free number 1-800-55-GRACE. Or write to Grace to You, Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Again, the CD is called Jesus, Worry, and You. It's yours free. Anyone contacting us for the first time, just let us know that you want one. And if you'd like a copy of John's current series, So What's Wrong with Gambling, that's available as a 2-CD album for $12. Or you can download it free of charge in 2 MP3 formats at the website gty.org. When you visit gty.org, remember you have access to thousands of free resources. You can read, for example, articles from John and the staff on the Grace to You blog, or you can watch videos from John's sermons, including his message at the 2014 Together for the Gospel conference, or download any or all of John's messages, more than 3,400 total, free in the MP3 or transcript format. That's at the website gty.org. On behalf of John MacArthur, our broadcast copywriter, Eric Dodson, I'm your host, Carl Miller. Thanks for tuning in today. Join us again tomorrow for another 30 minutes of unleashing God's truth, one verse at a time, here on Grace to You. The rise of internet gambling has brought the casino into the living room. So what's the big deal? Is it really hurting anyone? Something to consider on tomorrow's Grace to You.